this morning, continuing with talking about the future leadership, I've titled the message this morning, "What's Your Position?" So it's actually a question. Oh, birthdays. Caitlin, forgot about Jesse. Well, I'm glad you caught that. So we need to sing. Back up. Stop the recording. All right. Thank you, Phyllis. Sometimes I need a kick in the behind to wake me up. I know. He would have taken the candy, I know. All right. Let's start over here. So the question, the title of the message is actually a question. What's your position? What comes to your mind when I just throw out the word team? I do want some interaction here now. I'm not just throwing a question out. What comes to your mind when I throw out the word team? There's not? Oh, okay. That didn't come to my mind, but that's a good one. Different roles. Pulling together. There's no wrong answers here, so I don't think. But anyway, I don't know of any. But those are all good. Those are all good things because they are important to any team. Now, I would assume that when I use that word team, that most of our minds kind of went to a ball team. But I don't know why, because there's not many of us that would work good on a ball team right now. Some of us are getting too old and wearing out and things are not working like they used to. But it is a critical part of our everyday life is teamwork. And teamwork is hard. It is difficult to be part of a team and make it function properly. One thing that many organizations do over and over and over, and I'd like to do it here sometime in a business meeting or whatever you want to call it, to do some teamwork exercises, team building exercises. Some years ago, Brian, I don't know if you were part of this or not, but on the chaplaincy board, some years ago, we had someone come in and do some of these team building exercises, and they're scary. They're really scary. He came in and one of our reasons for doing it was just to build some continuity, trust, those types of things. And he divided our group, and it wasn't just the board, but it was the board and staff and everybody. But he divided us into four teams, and he handed us a stack of papers. Every team had a stack of papers, and they were all the same. Everybody had the same exercise. It wasn't four different things. And they were, what these papers were is they were actually a book. It was a short story, and that story was depicted in pictures. But the problem was every page only had a piece of the picture. And our job was to put that picture together and tell the story. Okay? So now imagine yourself in a room full of chaplains, pastors, business owners, managers, all pretty much all type A personalities. And the first thing that we had to do was select a captain. The first thing each team had to do was select a captain. Well, I backed up real fast. I didn't want to be a captain. But That was the first thing we had to do. So number one, you've got all these people who are used to being in charge now of their businesses, of their whatever they do, that's where they normally are. They're a person that is a manager of some type. And so that person then was had the task of giving each of us a responsibility and helping bring us to a common place, and that was to put this thing together. There were no page numbers. There was no description. And on top of it, we only had 10 minutes to do it. We needed an hour. But he was a little bit helpful with us. But he did give us the time. I don't remember exactly how it all went. But my team, I do remember my team, we put everything in place in its proper order except the first and the last page. We had them reversed. And guess what happened by having those two pages reversed? We still didn't have the right story. But it was really good for all of us because it helped us understand the importance of teamwork, the importance of working together, collaborating, looking at the pictures, and it's been a long time ago. If Brian wasn't on the board, it's been a real long time ago. So some of this is a little vague, and the person that was in charge of it is in Thailand right now, or I would have been on the phone with him last night. But what it did is it reinforced in our minds the whole picture of what it means to be a part of a team. And that's not my subject this morning, but it kind of builds into what I do want to talk to as we prepare our hearts and our minds for the future of the church at New Holland. This was gotten off of a website that is typically for businesses in the purpose of team building activities. It's to motivate people to work together to develop strengths, to address any weaknesses, so that you can encourage people to grow. One of the things that I didn't say was then at the end of that, once we got done, then we were, each team had to critique each other in how we did in allowing our leader, our team captain, to move ahead, in helping each other, and we were encouraged to be honest. I don't remember any of that, so it must not have been too bad. But there are opportunities for us to speak into each other's lives and not be threatened by criticism. And I use that word criticism a little bit loosely because we need criticism sometimes to help us grow. So that's kind of what I'd like to talk about this morning. I want to turn to Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. We've got three passages we're going to use, two of them in the beginning. And there's three points that we're going to look at in these three passages. The first one is the source. The second one is diversity. And then the third one is just some final instructions that Paul gives. And in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. But in Romans 12, he says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Now, if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read the whole chapter, and then we will go from there. The last one will be Ephesians chapter 2, two verses out of Ephesians 2, but that's a little further down. We're going to read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. Every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. But now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those with speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. And I went into verse 1 of chapter 13 for a reason. If you go back and you look at chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13, there's a sequence of what Paul is writing. The church, the Corinthian church, was divided into three groups. And I want to ask you the question this morning. You don't have to answer it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you think that you don't have any gifts? Maybe I should make you. No, I'm not going to make you raise your hand. How many of you think that you don't have any gifts when it comes to church or functioning in the body of Christ? And if you do, you need to repent. If you think that, you need to repent. Because Paul says very plainly and very specifically that everyone has a distinct gift. Everyone has a distinct function. And so if you are there, there's a different problem. Not the fact that you don't have a gift, it's because, I'm not sure why. And I'm not going to get into the psychology of that. But now, how many of you think that your gift is better than someone else's? I should ask you to read. No, I'm not going to. Seriously. That's not fair. But here's where we get into trouble when we're working with each other. Is we start thinking that my gift, my position, my place in the body of Christ is more important than someone else's. And Paul says, no, that's not true. In fact, it was to the point here in the church at Corinth that they were fighting over the fact that the people who had been given a gift of speaking in tongues were looking at everybody else and saying, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not with it. You don't have it. You don't even have a gift. And they were fighting over that. There were those who had other gifts, and they believed differently than the people who had gifts of speaking in tongues. And then you had those that didn't think they had a gift at all. And Paul says, no, that is not the case. God has given every one of you a gift. He reminds them in verse 1 and 2 that the gifts are not dependent on who we are. We all have natural abilities. But when it comes to when we accept Christ and when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God gives us different gifts. And He expects us to use them. Nobody here is worthy of the gift you've been given. Nothing you or I can do will change what God has given you. And he said, I want you to understand that while this gift of speaking in tongues, which is what he was specifically addressing here, this gift of speaking in tongues is good. It is a gift that was given by God. But look at where he puts it down in the last part of the chapter. It's like number 4 or 5, somewhere in there. He gives it a mention, but it's not the most important. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Look at where he puts it. It's down at the bottom. He says prophets, teachers are what's important to the function of the church. Yes, speaking in tongues is a gift that he gave, but it wasn't the most important. Did he say that a prophet or a teacher was more important? No, he did not say that. But he said when we start putting our emphasis on those gifts, and when we start saying that this gift is more important than that gift, we change the dynamics of the body of Christ. I cannot take my foot and put it on my hand. And if I did, you'd look at me and say, you're weird. And you would be right. If my eye doesn't work, guess what? I run into walls. We experience that in our house. I run into things that you shouldn't be running into. Guess what we do? We learn how to adapt. It doesn't make it handy. In fact, we have a little system that we have that we try to keep up with. I forget because I forget which eye is blind. But, you know, when we go somewhere and we're there for a meal, I sit on that blind side. Because if you're sitting on the blind side, you'll sit there and hold that plate for a long time till she sees it because she can't see. Can she function without it? Sure. Is it unhandy? Yes. There's other things that we try to do to adapt for that. Stepping off of curbs is one of them that we're still working on. That's why we're a little bit where we are right now. But Paul said, listen, he said, these things that we don't really think about that much are important. We lose a limb. Right away, it's a crisis. Guess what? We adjust to it. But Paul says, you still feel that void. In verse 2, he specifically addresses the fact that they were pagans. And somehow they were influenced by that pagan belief system, the religion of the pagans. And I want to say very carefully here, I want to be careful and not give room for some of that stuff. In verse 3, he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And I will say this, there are teachings out there right now that are affecting people that I know, where if you do not receive a blast from the Holy Spirit and get slain in the Spirit, you don't have it. That's false teaching, people. That's wrong. And Satan can manifest those same things in a way that will confuse people and make them believe that they are not Christians because they did not receive that. And we need to be careful with that. If it is true, it will line up with Scripture. It will be shown very clearly in Scripture. And we need to be careful in how much we pay attention to that stuff. But Paul said in Ephesians 2, he says, like the Corinthians, we were pagans as well, living in sin. But God saved us and gave His gifts to us because we need divine skills to respond to God's divine call and be available for His service. We did not earn these gifts that He has given us. Nothing I can do will earn the right for these gifts, but they are received by grace. God has given them to us by His grace. Verses 4 through 11 talks about diversity. And this is one we struggle with probably more than the first one. We struggle with allowing people to have different ideas, different ways of thinking than I have. Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working. Notice the word that he uses three times in these three verses, verses 4 through 7. He uses that word different three times in describing something. But all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? It is given for the common good. The gifts that you have been given, the gifts that I have been given, are not for me. They're for you. Your gifts are given for me. My gifts are given for you. It's for the common good. And too often when we focus on whether God wants me to speak in tongues or whether God wants me to be a teacher or a prophet, guess who's being the focus? Me. And I can't focus on you at that point. Paul says, no. Your gifts were given to you for the common good of the church, to the body of Christ. Paul now addresses the issue of disrespect to each other. In these verses, he reminds the church that the church is the body of Christ. Even as the human body is one but formed of many parts, so is the church. The Corinthian church was a mixed assembly. In it were Jews, Gentiles, former slaves, and even current slaves. Paul is saying if Jesus baptized them with the Holy Spirit and didn't take their race or class into account, neither did they have the right to judge one another based on the significance of those gifts. Diversity can be good. Diversity can also destroy us. We need to be careful with that. It's good to hear each other's ideas. It's good to be able to work together. I've been part of organizations, part of boards where at certain times you felt like there's no way we can bring this together. There's absolutely no way, and literally had to just walk away from something because it didn't seem possible to make this work. And come back together a couple weeks later or a couple months later and sit down and work out a plan that works. All of a sudden, everybody decided, you know what, we need to make this work somehow and we'll make this work. When I decide that my idea is more important than your idea to the point that I will not listen to what you have to say, diversity will destroy us. It doesn't mean that we're always going to compromise, but if we're unwilling to compromise, we will not, it will not work. Verse 12 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. In the same way that your arm will not function when removed from your body, you and I are not designed to function alone. We are designed to function within a group of people. We are designed to function in a group that will critique us, in a group that will encourage us, will challenge us, will make us grow. The same way that if I would remove my arm, there's only a certain amount of time that it can be attached back where it will be a functioning limb. Paul emphasizes in verse 17 to 20 the importance of diversity in spiritual gifts. That all parts of the human body do not have the same functionality. You know, as simple as one digit on your hand, that little digit took me a long time to get used to not being there. A long time. Literally to the point where I would wake up at night and there would be something under the fingernail. Do you see a fingernail on that finger? No. But I would wake up and I would be just, it would just, it literally at times I couldn't sleep because it just, it irritated me. And it's a simple little thing. I mean, you can do without it. I have. I've done pretty good, I think. But your body wasn't designed to be that way. God designed it perfect. But because we live in a fallen world, these things happen. Here's a quote that I'm going to read, and it's a fairly lengthy quote, but I just felt like it really explained things in a good way. And this writer makes this comment. He says, "We also have certain parts in our body which are weak but indispensable. For instance, my thumb might be the weakest and smallest part of the body, but without the thumb, my palm will not be able to hold anything." Try it. Try to hold something without that thumb. It's hard. Can you function? Yes, but it's hard. The church is no exception. In Acts 6, 1 through 7, the writer confirms it. "Surely the role of the apostles was much more important than the role of the seven deacons. Nevertheless, Peter and the apostles would have failed miserably if it wasn't for the deacons. In the same way, there are many volunteers in our church who might not be good preachers or teachers, but their gifts are indispensable." And I want you to catch this. Your gifts are indispensable because they alone have the ability to do what they do, and because of them, other people can spend time doing what God has called them to do. Paul concluded saying, "God determines our gifts, ministries, and individual differences. All of us are equally important because we serve an essential function. But in another sense, some are more crucial than others. It doesn't matter who we are in the body of Christ or what we do in it. Edification of the church should be our ultimate goal." Paul closed his argument with an exhortation to eagerly desire the greater gifts, gifts that are more useful to the body than to oneself, and with the promise to show them the most excellent way for exercising the spiritual gifts. Chapter 13. He finishes chapter 12 and says, "Listen, your gift is important." He goes into chapter 13 and he says, "I'm going to show you something a whole lot better. I'm going to get into another chapter here in a minute if I'm not careful. But look at the second verse, or the last part of the first verse. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, yes, you can have this gift of speaking in tongues. You can have the gift of teaching. You can have the gift of cleaning. You can have whatever gift you have. But if that gift is not exercised in love and for the common good of those around you, it's worthless. Absolutely worthless. Unity and diversity creates a balanced body. Can I use you for an example? That eye. You see, what happens is when somebody gets in a hurry and doesn't think about a step, and she steps off of that step because of that eye, her depth perception is not there. Guess what happens? It hurts the rest of her body. Okay? That eye seems like a simple thing, but that eye affects the rest of her body. And it simply sometimes gets to the point where it shuts her down. She can't do anything because of the pain. When she does something that damages it. The balance is missing. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. The balance in her body is missing because of that one piece that's not working. It's the same way here. If I decide that I can't be caught picking up trash out in the yard, guess what happens? I've made myself better. If I decide that I can't be caught with a broom sweeping around here, or that's Cameron, the yard boys, that's their job to keep the yard clean. Well, why is it just their job? It's all of our jobs. If I decide that, well, I can't go visit Miss Francis, or I can't, you get what I'm saying. That's part of the balance. That's the beauty of what God has put together. God has put that together for a reason. Let's use this for an example. How many of you thought about this morning, and I'm going to be careful. Our singing was a little bit weak this morning because we were a little bit slack in having numbers. And so maybe we should start singing later. And anyway. But how many of you really thought about what happened in when we sing? How boring would it be if everybody sang bass? It might sound good for a while. But how boring would it be if everybody sang tenor? Or alto? Or soprano? It would get boring after a while. But the diversity of those four parts gives us something that we enjoy. We enjoy hearing it. We enjoy listening to it. We enjoy being a part of it. What if we didn't have a song leader? We figured it out. We're not going to try it either. But what is the song leader's job? It's to bring those things together and to give us something beautiful. Now, I can sing. I enjoy singing. But you don't want me leading songs. I can promise you that. It's not my gift. As a young person, I wanted to play an instrument. And there's instruments I still would love to play. If I play an instrument, you won't recognize anything. Trust me. It's something that is not easy for me. And I can't function well in that. I can lead songs. I freeze up. I do all kinds of things. I can do it. It's not something I do well. Some of you have that gift to do that. The director's job is not to do all the singing. It's their job to bring all those parts together and give us something that we can enjoy. Here's another illustration that I want to use to just wrap this up. If I can get it to work. since everybody's mind probably went to a ball team. Do you see a team on that field? How many of you see a team there? The pitcher and the catcher. How much ball are we going to play? You can't even play, what is it you guys play when you just go around? I don't even know it. That's how long it's been since I played ball. Round town? There you go. Can't even play round town with that. Well, backwards. Sorry. So what do we got now? We're still not in too good a shape, are we? We got one guy out there all by himself. You know, and we keep going. We keep adding another person. We still don't have a team. Who are we missing? We're still missing somebody. We're missing a batter. Only when we put ourselves where God wants us and allow Him to use us and use those gifts that He has uniquely given us, can we function. God arranges the parts in the body, every one of them just as He wants them to be. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to do what? To equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And again, now we're going to get into a whole different one, but you are not given your gifts just to benefit this group. You were given your gifts to benefit this group and everyone else. While we as a church are looking to the future for leadership, there is no one that is less important because you may not have a gift to fit into that position. The church needs all the gifts, and when one decides they are no longer needed, it creates a void that someone else has to fill. It is important to be where God wants you to be and to be engaged. The body of Christ, or the church, is a living organism in which every member has a different role to fill for the benefit of the body as a whole. Although we are not equal, we cannot function independently. There are subordination and dependence everywhere. Some have special gifts, some have insignificant gifts, some have several gifts, some have one, some have higher gifts, while some have lower, but every individual has some function to execute, and everyone must work together for the common good. And this morning I just want to say that if you find yourself in the category where you feel you don't have a gift, you need to work on that one. Because you are unique. You have a unique gift. And you fill a unique spot. And I just want to encourage you. And again, there's two parts to this. And that is, we're looking to leadership. But we also realize that not everyone fits that. And so we want God's direction. We want what God wants and how God wants to take the church forward. Not necessarily always the way we want it to be, because that's the part of diversity. That's what's good. That's what's unique about the body of Christ. We see each other's gifts in a way that can be used to bring change to our world. Brian, do you have a song? 720 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand. Father, this morning we again are just grateful for Your influence in our lives. We're grateful for the teaching that Paul gave us, to realize that we are all unique. We all have different functions. We all have different gifts. And yet without one or the other of those gifts, it's more difficult to function. And so, God, we just want to recognize this morning each person that's a part of this body, each person that's a part of this group, and each person that you have allowed to be here. God, we want to recognize each of those gifts, even down to the young ones who are learning, who are experiencing new things, maybe more than those of us who are older and are finding themselves. Help us, God, to recognize those gifts in our teenagers, in our young people, and to help them to use those gifts as they grow, to function as a part of the church, a part of the body. Father, I pray this week that you would walk with us. And as we look forward to the future of this church, that you would just help us as we look to you for leadership, for the future, that if this church can continue on in being a light in this community and out farther. Help us, God, to walk respectfully of each other and allow each other to grow as we help and work together as a team. We pray that you would go with us this week as we work, as we do the things that you give us to do. Help us to use our time wisely and to be used by you in any way that you want to use us. And thank you for your care and love. In Jesus' name, amen.